Welcome back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are keeping calm. We are staying local. And, of course, WNST and Baltimore Positive going long distance now. Don Moeller from his palatial estate, where life is great, in the 21228, keeping it safe. I'm safe over here. Don, I know you have a relationship with our guest here today, and I know these are the kinds of segments where my wife wants to tune in and find out stuff when we start talking about educating people about health and about where we are in the midst of this pandemic and coronavirus.
Well, absolutely, I know our guest. Before I introduce him, I want to thank all of our sponsors who really make it possible for us to continue to work here during this pandemic. We ask you to support all your restaurants. Go out there. They're still doing carryout. State Fair in Catonsville. Great stuff. Brunch, lunch, dinner. Put your phone call in today. Call Evan and get some food from State Fair. We appreciate our friends at Fadley's. The market's been shut down. But good news is they're still shipping their crab cakes all over the country. Go on their website. They have a shop button. Just hit shop and order some of the best crab cakes in the entire world. And we thank Moeller and Gary Realtors, our newest sponsor, Jeff Moeller. They're doing real estate through this. They're doing Skype and FaceTime and Zoom, you name it. They're doing settlements online. So give them a call. Jeff Moeller, 410-746-1547. Nestor, if Dutch were on with us, he would remind us always that a leader is only as good as his or her team. And I was always very fortunate to have this man at the helm, both when I worked for Kevin Kamenetz and then when I was county executive for the 7.5 months. I had a certain sense of security knowing that Dr. Gregory Branch was heading up the health department and taking care of our health and safety. Doc, welcome to Baltimore Positive.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here, and it's good to hear your voice again, Don.
Well, Doc, I'm looking at the website, and as Nestor said, we look forward. We have smart people on, and you're one of the smart people. And I'm looking at the Hopkins site, which has sort of been my Bible, and it now has almost 408,000 cases, 18,000 deaths, 104,000 people who have actually recovered. Doc, in your lifetime as a physician, have you ever encountered anything, I think I know the answer, but I want to hear you talk about it, on this magnitude?
We have never counted this. This is something that is once in a lifetime, and I'm going to say to you, once in a century. This is big at this particular time. This is a new virus that's coming out. It is infecting and affecting a great deal of people around the world. When we call it a pandemic, this is truly what that is, a pandemic. It is something that is completely and totally global.
Well, if we're all going to remain safe, Doc, there needs to be an incredible level of education here beyond, let's say, seventh grade science in regard to pandemics and scourges and viruses and what they do and where they live and how long they live. And watching folks in Asia, and my wife and I were in Japan, we were in Korea back in December. It's not uncommon for folks to have masks there in the winter and viruses and folks behave differently, react differently on airplanes. And obviously, my wife's a two-time leukemia survivor, so she has a different kind of immune system, and she survived twice at Hopkins. I'm used to gloves. I'm used to Purell in and out of the building because she spent 155 nights over at Hopkins fighting for her life twice. And I remember how awkward it was, but the weird part about this, Doc, is it was 6 years ago last week that that we got the news that she had leukemia, and my life changed instantaneously. And I had to really put my head back into where I was the week before she was diagnosed about what I understood about if I left that hospital and somehow brought an infection into her room and I was the only one visiting her, that it would put her life in great, great peril. And it was at that point I had to do a lot of learning about germs and education. I was 45 years old at the time, and I can tell you, I put myself back into that mind frame. I don't know how I would have handled a pandemic at 19, you know, when I thought I knew everything, Doc, didn't we all?
And you know what, I'm so sorry to hear about your wife, and I'm hoping that everything has worked out.
She's beautiful.
Thus far. Okay,
she's beautiful.
Excellent, excellent. It is extraordinarily important that we remember that the one thing that we can do to prevent people from getting this particular disease is to basically wash our hands. You've got to wash your hands. We're now moving towards this pandemic in a way that we've got to do some social distancing, and we should stay at home, and we should probably call our elderly family members as opposed to going over to see them. And I think the key to this whole thing is washing your hands, soap and water, 20 seconds. And if you don't have the soap and water, use some hand sanitizer with at least 60% alcohol.
Doc, yesterday recently, the president was talking again, and he's suggesting that he may order the country back to work sooner than the medical professionals around him are recommending. For those in their cars listening and they're tuning in, and we're with Dr. Gregory Branch, the Director of Health and Human Services, Baltimore County Government, tell those listening why going back and lifting restrictions sooner than later is not a good idea medically. Can you give us the Four Dummies overview of that?
No problem. What we're doing at this particular time as it comes to COVID-19 is we are not going to be able to eradicate this particular bug and virus completely off. We're not going to change it. It is going to infect people. The whole purpose of social distancing is to be able to slow the process down. First, why do we want to slow the process down? We've got to slow the process down so that our healthcare system can take care of the people who are sick. What happens with a virus like COVID-19 is that it will infect people very, very quickly, and there's going to be a certain number of people who are not going to do very well with that, who's going to need to be hospitalized and potentially in the ICUs. And what you want to do is, by social distancing, you're going to allow the hospitals to be able to take care of those people slowly. If we change and now bring everybody back to work and school too soon, we can then overwhelm our hospital systems such that they won't be able to take care of all those sick people at the same time. So it'll be my hope and my prayer that the president would not do something like that, and he would heed to the advice of the medical experts.
Now, Doc, you are in regular contact with all the hospitals in Baltimore County, and one of the things we've always been very proud of, not only in the region, but in the county, we have outstanding hospitals. As you go down the list, GBMC, University of Maryland St. Joe's, Franklin Square, go on and on. I know you're in regular contact with health officials at those hospitals. How concerned are they that they are about to be overrun by this virus and not be able to keep up?
Everyone in the healthcare system in Baltimore County, in Baltimore City, the state of Maryland, and throughout the United States, all the physicians are talking, all the nurses are talking, and all the healthcare administrators are talking, because we are all extraordinarily concerned about the possibility of a surge where we would have so many patients and not enough beds for them. And so at this particular time, we're all continuing to talk and to plan as to what we would do in the event that particular situation was to come. I want all your listeners to understand and know that public health, specifically here in Baltimore County, we are on the job. We are there. We are out there. We are planning. We're doing surveillance, and we're taking care of the constituents of Baltimore County. And I just want them to understand that despite the fact of what they may hear, I want them to be able to know that we're here, and if they have any questions, they should call our hotline, and that's 410-887-3816. That's 410-887-3816, and then we can give them all the education and the information that they may need.
Now, when should they use that hotline, Doc? We're gonna repeat it again for those of you listening in Baltimore County, 410-887-3816. When should they use that, and what should that line be reserved for?
Okay, anyone can call us between 8:30 and 5 o'clock if they have any questions on COVID-19.
So if someone were to call you right now at that number and say, I've got a fever, my wife's got a fever, whatever it is, call you at that number. They live in Perry Hall. What then happens if you are a patient who somehow thinks you may have contracted this or been exposed to this? What then does your office send them to do?
So what we do is that when we have a case that is true, that we think there is a particular issue with that person, because remember, many people have a story and really they don't actually need to see a healthcare provider. But if they do, we then send them to their primary care provider. If they don't have a primary care provider, we would then send them to an urgent care center. And if they don't have that, we may have to send them to the emergency department. But we prevent hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people from going into their doctor's offices and into the emergency departments by just talking with them, hearing their story, and then giving them sage medical advice. Some people are upset, nervous, and concerned. Some people may call us on the phone and say, I walked past somebody and they coughed. Do I need to get tested? And we can explain to them that, no, you don't have to get tested for that. However, some people do call and will say to us that they are symptomatic, they were exposed to somebody who was positive, they're over the age of 60, and they have some major medical concerns. And then we ensure that person gets the medical services that they need.
What about respirators? And we're hearing so much about that, and beds, and you talked about beds. How many respirators would we have in Baltimore County under normal conditions, and how would those work in regard to where Hopkins and Maryland are and the hospitals in the city or the region or the state? I mean, yeah, I hear the governor of New York calling out respirators. That could be us. That could be us next week around here. That could be Larry Hogan in Washington, and Baltimore could be the next place. We need to make sure that that doesn't happen, but what is the backup plan? What's the contingency?
So what we really actually call them is ventilators. And they're mechanical ventilators. And what that means is that a person cannot breathe on their own because they have some type of an infection like pneumonia, and they become really difficult to breathe, we may have to put them on a mechanical ventilator. So all the hospitals have the ICU beds, and they all have the mechanical ventilators. At this particular time, we have more than enough mechanical ventilators to be able to take care of what is happening in Baltimore County today. However, like I mentioned to you before, if we had that surge and it was a lot of people who need to then need a mechanical ventilator, and we could potentially run out of those. At this particular time, we are not there by any means. And remember, when it comes to ventilation and being in a hospital, we're not only talking about Baltimore County, we're then talking about the whole region, then the whole state, and then other states. So we do have plans that each hospital can actually enhance, and then each hospital can use other hospitals, and then this state can use other states in order to be able to keep people on the mechanical ventilators if they have to. So at this point now, we do have specific plans to be able to work through that. However, if it gets really bad, then at that particular time, we're going to need help from the federal government to be able to provide us with more equipment.
Dr. Gregory Branch is our guest here. He's the Director of Health and Human Services. Don Moeller also here on Baltimore Positive. We're keeping calm. We're staying local. We're washing our hands and staying safe. Go ahead, Don.
Yeah, Doc, can you give folks, I think what people are fascinated by, and there have been so many inspirational stories, can you give folks sort of a peek behind the curtain as to how government works and coordinates during this unprecedented time. For example, how are you working to coordinate response with Baltimore County Public Schools? How is Baltimore County government working with the school system on these health issues?
So what actually happens in a well-organized government is we have what we call an emergency operations center. And that emergency operations center is now fully committed to this COVID-19 response. In that emergency operations center, we have all the different departments and areas of Baltimore County that includes the school system. We have BGE in there, and we have any other types of departments or agencies that we need to communicate with very, very quickly as it relates to this particular response.
So I'm familiar with that, and some folks probably over the years have seen the interviews down there. They're used to seeing me down there during times of a blizzard or during times of a hurricane, and you're saying that same operations center, that emergency operations center, the EOC, as we refer to it, is now up and operational dealing with COVID-19.
You got it. So that when a hospital or a healthcare organization says, I need some additional equipment, they can call the EOC, and the EOC helps them track that information down so that we can actually have a coordinated response to all the things that we need to do for Baltimore County.
Well, I know we pulled you away from some very, very busy work. I'm going to ask you to put on your Karnak hat and sort of look into that crystal ball. I know there's no definitive answer to this, Doc, but folks want to know, if you had to guess, how long before life in Baltimore County is back to pretty much to normal? What if somebody asks you, if Johnny calls you and County Secretary Shefsky calls you and says, Dr. Branch, how long do you think? Give me a conservative answer. Before we're back to normal here.
So to tell you the truth, that's one of those answers that is very, very difficult. If you're going to make a guesstimate, you would have to look at the countries that have had COVID prior to us. And if you can see, when you look at China, you can see that they were down probably for a good 6 to 8 weeks. And so it's going to be that much time. This is not going to be something that's overnight by any means. We're going to be trying to do the social distancing for quite some time. And at this particular time, there is not much testing going on in this country. And so therefore, I would have to tell you that at least 6 to 8 weeks and probably longer.
So I got a question about... Go ahead.
Go ahead, Nestor.
I got a question about testing because my wife has had her nose flocked many, many times and found it to be incredibly uncomfortable. And, you know, through her cancer battles and colds and all of those things, I'm hearing about self-swabbing, and I'm really shaking my head. And I took to Twitter and sort of loudmouthed a little bit about it on Monday night because I can't imagine doing that to myself under the thought that I'm really getting an accurate sample as to whether I have a potentially deadly virus. I mean, self-swabbing, is that something that you're familiar with?
Well, you know what? I will tell you this way. I know there are many people years and centuries ago, well, I should say decades ago, who would say, I could never give myself a needle.
I understand that. My wife's diabetic. I see it every day.
Yet the diabetics do it now. So I would say at this particular time, before we would even get to self-swabbing, we've got to get some equipment so that we as the healthcare community, could swab people in the community. So right now, I wouldn't really be thinking about self-swabbing, although we may have to get to that, but that's a long way off. Where we are now is we need to get some testing kits so that we can just test people in the community and in our jurisdiction, the state, and in the country.
Well, we had the President of the United States on a podium on Monday saying the swabs would be there on Thursday. I thought that was a little disingenuous. Go ahead, Don.
No, Doc, listen, you've been very gracious with your time. You were very, very busy. Anything you would want to share with our listeners about where we are, where we're heading? You have the pulpit. Why don't you take us out of here?
I would just say to everyone that this is a marathon. It is not a sprint. That means that it's going to take us time to get through not this outbreak, but this pandemic of the century. What your individual listeners can do, I think it's so important. And it's going to be three S's. They can stay at home right now. They can do social distancing. And they can sanitize not only their tabletops, but their hands. Wash your hands.
I like it. Doc, always a pleasure to learn things and grow and reach out a little bit. And I hope the next time we get together, it's because I run into you in Towson and we can fist bump, maybe even hug or something. How about that?
Thank you. Let's give that hotline one more time, Nestor. 410-887-3816. 830-25. All your coronavirus questions answered by the Baltimore County Health and Human Services folks. Doc, thanks a million. Nestor, take us out of here.
Dr. Gregory Branch joining us from Health and Human Services at the Baltimore County. I tell you what, man, Don's bringing all of his friends on here, making Baltimore positive. Awesome. We got a lot of things ahead. We're going to hear from Johnny O later on this week. Tons of Baltimore business owners, county and city, up in the buyatoyota.com audio vault and at WNST and AM 1570. We are keeping calm. We are staying local. We're learning lots of stuff. We are WNST.net and Baltimore Positive AM 1570, and we never stop trying to educate the folks and stay safe and wash your hands.